Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church in Chicago, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply wanted to say that no matter where you're at, we're glad that you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you live in the Chicagoland area, maybe this is the first step for you joining us in person sometime. Or if you want to, you can always check out our online live services every Sunday on our website at firstnaz.cc. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the message. Well, good morning again, and welcome to First Nazarene. It is so good to be together as a church and as a family. Thank you for being here. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name is Galen. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you're new here, or you weren't here last week, we're jumping into this series called Helping Families Win. We as a church want to help you and your family win. Whether we're part of the church, our recreation program, our preschool, our desire is to help families win. I want to start today, I want to ask you about your family. Growing up, were you the youngest? Were you the oldest? Was your family close? Like, probably too close, over meshed together? Were you distant? I want to know a little bit about your family. So just wherever you are, if you are an only child, did you raise your hand? Were you an only child, anybody? Couple, very, very few in this service and last service too. If you're the oldest, raise your hand. Yeah, your hands went up because you're responsible, right? You were on it. If you are the youngest, raise your hand. Yes, that tells me a lot about you guys, actually. I hate it when people say that. I'm the youngest too. And when people are like, oh, you're the youngest. Makes sense. I hate that. I'm like, what are you saying about me? I'm the youngest of five. And in my family, a big family spread over 16 years. My sister's 16 years older than I am. Large family, the youngest by far. And you know what happens? Maybe some of you that are the youngest, you relate to this too. Do you ever feel like you just are forgotten because you're the last one? Maybe they forgot, your parents forgot to teach you something. For me, like, they never taught me how to change a tire on my car. I'm in college, I'm dating my now wife, Justine, and she's like, oh, I got a flat. And she looks at me, I'm like, what do you want me to do about it? I don't know how to do this. Or maybe not they forgot to teach you something. Maybe they literally forgot you. I remember one time, I was young, but young enough to remember, maybe, I don't know, 6, 7. I'm out in the backyard playing a little sandbox we have, and I look up and I see the family van. I don't know if, I think it was like 86, I don't remember what year. You know what I'm talking about, the big old conversion vans. Got the two bucket seats in the middle that swivel, the little old TV. I look up, I see the family van. I was like, oh, my family's leaving. It's Wednesday, it's time for church, and I'm still here. My whole family, and I was like, hey. They're like, oh, yeah, no, we told you to get in the car. Come on, get in the car. They almost left me. Or one time, actually, after a football game, while the football game was happening, it was like JV football or something, I was over on the side with my friends. We were playing football. We were so in the game. At one point, I look over, the field is empty. Football game's over. In fact, it's all empty. The stands are empty. Everyone's left. And we, as a bunch of young children, not just me, are left alone. And I'm asking the question, where is my family? I just want to find my family. Today in the church, what I want to say to you and what I've entitled this little message is find your family. Today I want you to find your family. What does that look like? What does that mean for you? We all have family. And when we begin to talk about what is the best picture of family, we think of families that are loyal. We think the best picture of family is ones that where each individual makes the others better. We hold each other accountable. We forgive each other. We're always there for one another. That is what family's supposed to be. Yet as soon as I say those words, most of us take that, compare it to our family, and we say, maybe not so much. Maybe for you, it's, you know, each person themselves isn't perfect. So when you throw a bunch of people under one house that have to live in close proximity, dysfunction happens. Maybe for you, though, it wasn't just dysfunction. It was something deeper. Maybe there was a betrayal. Maybe it was the conversation, the miscommunication that caused distance. And over years, it's compounded, and you are no longer close with your family. Maybe for you, family is something difficult to talk about. You see, when our families break down, the world at whole and culture begins to break down as well. However, there is another family. A family of adopted brothers and sisters. It's being arranged in a divine reconstruction. God is using that family to help us, to put us back together into a new family, and is using that family to put the world back together as well, the family of God. Last week, we talked about your biological family. Today, I want to talk about the church family. And the first thing up front I want to tell you is that this church family is for your family, and this church family is your family. I want you to know, no matter if it's your first week, you've been here for years, if there's ever anything we as a staff can do to help your family win, and I'm not just talking little kids. If so, you could talk with our children's pastor, our student ministry pastor. I'm talking, if you want to talk to our senior adult pastor, if you want to talk about how do I help my adult children win, whatever it is, we are here for you to help your family win, and we want to be your family. Even if it's your first time, you belong here. We want to be your brothers and sisters. So today in the message, it's a little different than I would normally do it. We're going to do a Bible study, kind of all up front, why family up front, and then how does this play out? How do we actually be family together? And if you know me at all, I love practicality. Here at the church, I'm over kind of our next steps, our discipleship process. And so it's going to end with how do you actually do this practically? And I'm going to give you some things that I want you to do even today. So first, the little Bible study, I want to jump in. And guys upstairs, my little clicker's not working, so if you can help me out with these scriptures, that'd be awesome. In the beginning, God creates a family. Think about that. God could have created humanity with whatever kind of societal construct he chose. He could have just made, you know, Plato's Republic from the beginning and said, go. No, but he made a family. Why? Family is God's idea. He says, this is the best way to live life, to live in loving relationship with one another. Why family? God chooses one man, Abram, and he says these words from Genesis 22. Abram, I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your family. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And through your family, through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. See, God wanted to check Abraham's heart to see how loyal he was. So, Abraham, if you would be willing, could you even give up your only son to know me, to live in relationship with me? And Abraham said, yes. By faith, he trusted God. God, I trust that whatever you know what's best for me. I want to follow your plan. I want to follow your purposes. Yes. And God says, because you've had this faith in me, I'm going to bless your family. And he says, now your family, it's going to grow throughout generations. Your family will be known by a name, and their role is to share with the world who God is. You've heard of Israel, right? In today's world. And we think of Israel, we think of like a physical location or a nation, a state, whatever you want to call it. We think of Israel. In the Bible, when they heard Israel, they would have thought family. Abraham has a son, Isaac. Isaac has a son, Jacob. Jacob wrestles with God and God renames him Israel. So when you hear Israel, it's this family, this lineage, this people of God who are known by a name, Israelites, to be God's light to the world. God said, if you live according to the ways that I've prescribed, if you love your neighbor as yourself, if you live in this way as a society, the world will get to see how good I am, how merciful and compassionate and loving I am, and the whole world will know who I am. But this family turned their back on God. Yet, God is always faithful to his promises. So God made a promise. He says, no, through your family, I will bless not only your family, but the entire world as well. 55 generations later, I haven't done the math from like, you know, Sam Krestel to Kaysen, or I don't know if that's 55, that's a huge family. How many generations? Think of this, 55 generations later, through Abraham's line, there's a son born, and his name is Jesus. God says, my plan is for people to be united under one name to show the world who I am. So God becomes man in Jesus, and through his life, his example, through his death where he takes on our sin, through his resurrection from the dead where he defeats sin and death and the grave and shame, he says, now I'm making a new family, a family of new life, where you too go from death to new life just as Jesus did, and I'm adopting you together as brothers and sisters under one name, Jesus, to be the example, to be the model for the world so they can know who God is as well. In the New Testament, when we read about this, Paul is looking at this verse and he begins to share with us, and this is Romans. He explains how this comes about. Clearly, God's promise was to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on the obedience to God's law, but a right relationship with God. How? It comes by faith. I'm going to pause here. So many of us, if you grew up in church or you've been away from church and you come back, well, I have to do good. I have to not say this. I have to not do this. I have to follow these rules. He makes it clear. The way you know God, the way you're made right with God is by faith. Jesus, I believe you are who you say, or I believe that you love me enough to die for my sins. I believe that you can give me new life and radically change me from the inside out. I believe by faith. And if so, you become right with God. So the promise is received by faith. It's given freely as a gift. There's nothing you can do to earn it. And we're all certain to receive it. This is interesting. Whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, so you're saying, whether are you a Jew or are you not a Jew? If you're a Jew, you're trying to live according to the law of Moses. He says, no. Not just for them, but for everyone. Whether or not it's according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham, who trusted God, for Abraham's the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened, and I love this. This is just a good one to memorize. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing, the God we believe in. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for him. This is interesting. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Catch this really fast. He said, why is this listed about Abraham? Well, it's for us to know that he's made right through faith. That's okay. But I want to ask you, if you've been living with Jesus, if you've prayed, God, forgive me, forgive my sin. I want to live new life for you. I'm a part of your community. I'm following you. Have you ever doubted, God, am I still okay with you? You forgive me? Are we still in a relationship? I mean, you know I messed up. How can you have confidence? Paul says this wasn't just recorded for Abraham's benefit, but for ours too. So we know, okay, God, by faith, you say you've forgiven me. You say I'm a child. You say I'm a part of this family. And as you're faithful through 55 generations, I have it recorded in history that God keeps his promises. I can know today, God, you've promised me that I'm good with you. It's recorded for our benefit. And this is the simple message of Jesus that Paul writes. He was handed over to die because of our sins, Jesus. And he was raised to life. Why? To make us right with God. So then Paul goes on to explain this is how we enter into a relationship. But it's not just for us individually to know God, but to be a part of something bigger. If you want to go to the next one for me. Paul writes to the church in Galatians, for you are all now children of God through faith in Christ. And all who have been united with him in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. God's promise to Abraham belongs to you too. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law of Moses. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to this law. Why? What is God's plan? What is God up to in all of history? So that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we're his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Holy Spirit comes and lives within us, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. So now you're not slaves, but you're God's own child. And since you're his child, you are also his heir. Paul condenses this message a little bit when he writes to the Ephesian church. You can go to the next one. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. It's what he wanted to do. Jesus didn't come just because, oh, we gotta save those heathens that turn their back on us. No, it's what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Finally, see how much the Father loves us. He calls us children, for that is what we are in him. God, through Jesus, is now putting together a new family. multi-ethnic, multi-generational, bi-multilingual family. When you read in the beginning, Adam and Eve, God made a family. At the end, in Revelation 7, it says, all tribes, all nations that call him Lord, come together, this new family, to say, worthy is the Lamb. You are God. Now we're in this family together, a better family, maybe than the family that we've experienced. This is what God is doing, is creating a family. Now here's what's interesting. You can breathe for a second, because it was kind of a lot of scripture all at once. You say, okay, that's awesome. We know God is doing that in and through his church. I've been attending church for years, maybe. I know that that's what the church is for, to be God's family, to bear his name, to shine light into the world. Okay, something interesting has happened. With the day and age we're in with technology and media, you can come to church, but also, if you want to learn, you just jump on. I got a question, Google, okay? If I want to know some theology, I can go search a 3-minute Facebook or Instagram video. I can go find all these things, and that's amazing, but yet sometimes some of us do these things so individually, we miss out on the church. We begin to ask this question, why? Why church? This week, I'm sitting in what we call our production meeting on Wednesdays. It's the meeting where it's the nuts and bolts, the logistics of our services. Sit around, okay, who's going to move the TV? How do we go from one song to another? Is Phil going to pray here? We figure out all that stuff. And this week, that group changes every week depending on who's in the service. This week, I looked at around the table, and every person at the table is either a millennial or Gen Z. And I said, us, are the people that are leaving the church. Less than 1 in 3 millennials go to church now, and Gen Z is going to be even less than that. So I looked at them, and I said, hey, yeah, we're going to work through all the logistics. We'll do all that. Why do you come to church? What's the church for you? Why are you still here when all of your peers have left? What benefit is the church for you? Because you can do it online. You can do it on your own. You got Spotify, listen to worship music. Why? And I made every one of them answer. It was a huge curveball. We don't normally do that in that meeting. And each one of them shared, and they shared amazing things that I want you to hear today too. The first thing, why church, is for this reason. The church family fills in the gaps of our family. I don't know you, I don't know your story, but maybe in your family there was someone that probably didn't live up to the person that they should have been within your family. Maybe they let you down, they fell short. But maybe inside the church, you found a family here. Man, if you didn't have a father figure, maybe someone came along that became a father figure. Maybe a brother or a sister that didn't show up for you in your time of need, but someone from the church did. They are your brother and sister. They are your family filling in the gap for where your family wasn't perfect. And I'm not saying anything bad about anybody's families. It happens. They're not perfect. But God is making this new family to help mend and heal our hearts as a part of his family. In that meeting, Matt Smith, who's our new tech director, he just moved like 8 hours from Kansas City. He's like me, he's got nobody here, no family. He said, part of the reason why I love the church, why I come, why I'm a part of it, is because of community. He said, if we moved here, we would have had no one. I would have just been doing my job and my wife doing it remotely, like we would have had no one. But immediately we found community. I was just at the friend's house last night from the church. We find community in it. I love this verse from Psalm. I want to share it with you. I read it this week. I hadn't heard it before. Father to the fatherless, defender of widows. That's who God is, whose dwelling is holy. And then he says, God places the lonely in families. When you read the New Testament, you hear James talking about take care of widows and orphans. This is pure and faultless religion. Why? Because God knows they're all alone and God loves them. And the way he chooses to love them is through his people. God places those who are lonely in families. And 2020 and throughout continual COVID, however long it lasts, isolation, loneliness, depression. What if God wants to put you with other people to be your family? I think specifically in our culture today, maybe some of us had a distant, either physically or emotionally, father. If you wanted a little next step outside of church, a little extra credit, if you would, I would encourage you to watch one of these two movies. One is out in the theaters now, Show Me the Father, and Courageous is coming back after 10 years, and they've redone some of that. Both of them deal with this. What does it mean to be a good father figure to someone? I would say mother as well. And Show Me the Father, they take 4 different stories, I believe, one of them being Eddie George, and they talk about the difference of what it means to have a father and the impact that makes versus maybe not. Church, we are supposed to be fill in the gap for people that don't have others. The church family fills in the gap for our family. In scripture, I want to give you one example of what this looks like. There's a story of a lady named Naomi. Naomi lives in Jerusalem, but a severe famine comes. She can't find food. She can't live here. So she moves with her two sons to Moab. It's a foreign country. It's away from her home. And they find some food there. And there she finds two wives for her sons. Their names are Ruth and Orpah. And I'm so glad I said Orpah. You know what I said last service? Oprah. Oprah's not in the Bible. I totally missed it. Orpah. They marry these sons, and they live in Moab. And then the famine ends, and they can go back to Jerusalem. But sadly, Naomi's sons die. It's just her and her two daughter-in-laws. And she says, listen, I'm gonna go back and be with my people. You guys, I mean, I've got nothing for you. I can't have more sons for you to marry that will be your security, your inheritance, that are going to take care of you. It's not going to happen. Why don't you just stay here with your people? You've been nice family to me. Just stay here. We read these words in scripture. Again, they wept together at the goodbye. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. Look, Naomi said to her, your sister-in-law, she's gone back to be with her people and her gods. You should do the same. But Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. I love this. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. She gets even more intense here. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. This amazing covenant relationship. When Naomi saw Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more, and the two of them continued along in their journey. Friends, if you join the church, that's the commitment we make to you. We're here for the long haul. We're going to be here. We're going to be here for you. If you're already inside the church, what would it look like to say this to someone else? Maybe not this intense, right? I mean, this is really intense. But you say, hey, I'm with you for the long haul. And so that when they say, no, it's okay, it's fine. I don't need any help. I'll be okay. You say, no, I'm here. To the point where when no more words can be said, the only thing that happens is the two of you together live and continue the journey and share life together. Who do we need to commit to like that? Maybe someone in our biological family, but also someone maybe outside. Final way to the way the church fills in the gaps from this verse in Isaiah says this, learn to do good. This is how we be a family. Seek justice. Help those that are oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans, those alone. Fight for the rights of widows. Help them to find a place in the family. Be family to those that don't have any. Secondly, why church? Church family helps raise our family. Back to that little production meeting, Adam, our worship pastor, sitting there. I said, Adam, why you? You're around my age. So many of our peers have left the church. Why are you here? He says, I mean, there's a variety of reasons. I could give you a bunch of them. One of them, I love that this place will bring up my children in a great moral upbringing that agrees with what I agree with, and other people will be speaking into my own kids' life the same things I want them to believe. And he actually said, and I got to read it because it was a good quote. He said, I want my kids to be around people that value selfless generosity. It's the kind of environment I want my kids to be raised in. Earlier in this service, and I had pictures because last service wasn't a part of it, you maybe met, if you didn't already know, Matt and Mysel and Kaysen. I don't know if you noticed this. Matt is a full-grown man. He is taller than me. He's a big guy. But Matt's not always been this way. Go to the next one. This is Matt. Sorry, Matt. A little cute little bow tie, and I don't know what those shoes are, but they match your whole ensemble. It's pretty awesome. When Matt was little, his family came here. Church, help me raise my kid. Teach him the way of the Lord. Teach him, if you're on the fringe of church, you're not a believer of Jesus, teach them great values and principles. If you've ever studied the way of Jesus, it's the way you'd want your kids to live anyway. Teach him the way of the Lord. Partner with me, not only from when he's a kid, but when he's also a teenager. Some of you, I see you in the service. Sorry for the throwback picture here. Matt's in the back here. Like I said, when he was around a sophomore in high school, John Brown, who's a board member at the church now, youth leader, writes in his Bible. That's the thing that he comes back to. Oh, I'm sure he drew from the wisdom his parents taught him as well. But someone outside the family was a family to him. And so much so the fact now that he wants to share that same tradition in the way that it was passed to his own daughter. The church is here to help us raise our kids. For you, for those of you that are parents right now with younger kids, you disciple your kids at home, number one. Then we come here and we disciple them as a family. And then we go into the world together to make disciples. This is what the church is for. But finally, it's not just for the kids or not just those that are for parents, but why church? The church is here to help us grow as well. So here's what's interesting. A lot of you, maybe you've got kids outside of the house, and you know, why should you keep coming to church if your kids are out of the house? Is it primarily for them, or is it for you too? In 2021, with the media and everything I mentioned, the ease of going to find everything in the completely individualistic way that we live life, here's what happens. The way we follow Jesus often becomes entirely so individualistic, we live in an echo chamber. Here's what I mean by that. You know an echo, if you're somewhere with a canyon and you say, hello, and it goes, hello, 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 it bounces back off. Or maybe you start to sing and you're, I'm not gonna sing for you, never mind. You sing and you hear it come back and you're like, oh wow, that person sounds really good. So you sing again and you hear it come back, you're like, they could win American Idol. This is, wow, that's really good. You're hearing yourself. When you follow Jesus in such a way where you don't put yourself around other people, oftentimes what we search for, oftentimes what we read, what we find ourselves discussing about with other people is only affirming what we already believe. Part of the reason God gives us the gift of family is to sit with people that are different than us. And there's a few things we don't settle. I mean, there's a few things, the Apostles' Creed, we believe in. Jesus is who he said he was. He rose from the dead. He's coming again. Yeah. We don't settle from those. But when we hear difference, the mature Christian doesn't just say, nope, forget it, I have the truth. We have to have humility to recognize in all of the years of history, we are not God's gift and know everything. So how do we submit to God's spirit? Because Paul says God sends a spirit that helps us test what is true and not true and say, oh, that's interesting, let me consider that. And as we sit together and do that together, submitting to God's spirit, lead us and guide us into truth, God changes us to make us who he wants us to be. Here's the test. If you never change, and ultimately you start putting words in God's mouth that changes beliefs and desires to be what you want them to be, you've successfully made God in your own image. Versus when scripture says we need to be conformed to the image of Christ, the likeness of Christ. We come to God and say, God, I should be changing, because I'm not God. God, I should be changing, and to say, what are your beliefs and desires? And now how do I shift and align and agree with that? Do we start with ourselves? Or do we start with scripture and who God is? We don't want to live in an echo chamber. We need one another to grow and to change and be who God has called us to be the light of the world. So finally, today I want to move to the practical piece of what does this look like? My wife, she was like, all right, you're talking about families this weekend, right? What are you going to tell us? And this was Monday. I hadn't developed much of the message yet. And I was like, sometimes you just need a new one, was my response. And I thought about that for a minute. And I was like, no, yeah, we don't give up on our families. We're always faithful to them. But sometimes we do need new people around us. First thing to help you find your family today, first advice I would give you is to cling and commit for the long haul. My daughter's in this stage now. Maybe you remember it when you get a kid that just clings onto your shirt and never lets go. Remember this story from Ruth, where Ruth says, she clung tightly to Naomi. Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Here's what I want you to do for a moment. I want you to think in your family, who needs to hear today? You say, hey, I'm with you. I'm for you. I know it's been a while. Not really sure what you're going through right now. But hey, I'm here for you. Love you. Who needs to hear that? Now, outside of your family, who needs to hear that same thing from you? Hey, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here for you. Hey, if you ever need anything, I want to let you know I'm in your corner. I've got your back. Who needs to hear that? Maybe you can be this family for someone else. Find your family in this way. Secondly, find your family by being genuine. Be yourself, but love authentically. Here's why this is in here. Oftentimes when we think of church, we think about the weekend gathering. Now, if you only see people for 5 minutes in passing, coming and going, maybe only once a month, it's super easy to be like, oh, hi, how are you? How's your kids? You good? You good? Okay, cool, cool. Yeah, well, service will start and see you later. It never gets beyond surface level. When we sit in circles with people, when we hang around and talk to people and ask deeper questions, we can love them genuinely. Paul, when he's writing to the church in Rome, after the theology we just read earlier, instructs them how to live together with one another. He writes these things. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tight to what is good. Love each other with a genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. And if you want it super simple, how do I be family to somebody? Be happy with those that are happy. Weep with those that weep. Show up for someone and say, where are you at today? I'm here with you too. If you're celebrating, I'm celebrating with you. If you're grieving, let me sit and grieve with you too. Finally, to find your family, I would say this. Take the initiative. Here's the deal. We all want a friend to show up for us. We want someone to remember our anniversary and birthday and to text us. We want someone to invite us to a meal to be friends with. What would it look like for you to say, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and be the kind of friend that I want. I'm going to invite other people. Instead of thinking about what I'm going to watch on TV tonight, I'm going to ask who can come over to my house and eat ice cream with us. What does it look like for you to take the first step, to send a message, to send an invitation, to talk with someone? Take the first step. I told you I'm really practical. So for us as a body, as a church family, I recognize I know a lot of you, but you may not know each other very well. So I want to give you a few ways that you can take the initiative to find your family. And the first one is by Pizza and Connect. This is normally a gathering. You don't hear a ton about it because it's normally for people that are newer to the church. When new people come, we send them an email, we call them, we talk to them a lot about Pizza and Connect. I'm going to open it up for anybody. If you've been around this place and you don't know this church very well, whether it's what we believe, how we function, who our staff is, what we believe in, come to Pizza and Connect. It's super simple. We meet here at the church. I order us all pizza. You tell me what kind of pizza you like, and that's the kind of pizza I order. We sit in a room and we talk about who the church is. I'd encourage you, Pizza and Connect. When we respond every week and on the Connect card, when you scan that little code, you'll see it. It says Pizza and Connect. Simply click that and sign up. You do need to sign up because I need to know how much pizza to order so I don't eat 3 boxes by myself. So let me know you're coming. Secondly, Phil mentioned this earlier in the service, the all-church picnic. Here's what's interesting. It's very rare that we actually cancel a service time around here, but on this day we are. We want our 9 a.m. crowd and our 10:30 crowd to be together, to worship together, but more than that, then to stick around afterward to eat lunch. Now, here's the deal. We're going to have 3 food trucks on the property, and lunch is paid for. So you simply show up, you eat, and you be together. On the field, there's going to be a bunch of games for kids. So if you're a parent, you can bring a lawn chair, a blanket, and sit out there. For everyone else, there's tables and chairs to sit and to be together. For those online, maybe it's a great first time to come to. Now, if you're on the fringe of the church, I encourage you to come. You'll get to see people more than just in a forward-facing environment. But hear me on this. If you're already an insider, you're like, oh, that's a neat event. This is the easiest thing to invite someone to for the first time at church, coworker, neighbor. Hey, come to church with me. Lunch is provided. We just simply go to church. We're going to eat together. There's food trucks. Choose what you want. It's done. Come with me. A great chance for us to be together. And today, you knew I was going to say it because if you've been here, you know who I am. The way to find your family is to sign up for a life group. This is the third week we've talked about life groups. Today is the last day to sign up. We want you to find connection and experience Christian community in a family. The book you sat on when you came in, we're going to give you space in just a moment to actually look through that and to sign up for a group. A few featured one, moms, for you. Look at 6 or 13. 6 is a Thursday morning where you get to hang out with other moms. Thursday night is a mom's Bible study talking about how to let control go in your life and let God have control over it. Family lunches after church literally begins today in like 5 minutes. If you didn't sign up, that's okay. You can sign up right now. Go to Wendy's, come right back in the big gym. We're going to meet together as families. We're going to let the kids run around the gym. We'll eat together. We'll talk about one thing from the message. I even heard a rumor that on days where the Bears play at noon, after the conversation, they'll put the Bears game on so you don't miss the Bears game. It's okay. And be together with other families. Even today, I would encourage you, if you have kids, go for it. Sunday night football, you meet, you talk about the message, watch the game together. Board games, you meet, you talk about the message, play games together. It's not all just activity groups. There's 25 groups in there. There's a spot for you. There's a group for you. If you've tried it before and you're like, yeah, it didn't go so well, try again. I don't know if I should say this or not. Is my wife in here? She is. I didn't marry the first girl I dated. Took me a couple times to find the right one. If you sign up for a group and it didn't go well, try again. Find your people. Find your family. Let's take the initiative. Let's take the initiative and begin to discover we can find our purpose in being a sister or brother. Let's be the family that God has called us to be, a family that loves one another. Would you pray with me? God, I am thankful that you love us, that you've given us family. You could have done anything, but you chose family. God, help us to be the kind of family that you have called us to be as a church, a family that bears your name and reflects your love to the world so that people can come to know you and enter into relationship with you. There's anyone here today that says, yeah, I don't have a relationship with God. I've never asked him to forgive me of my sin or to live this new life with him, but I want to be a part of this family. I want to see what God's doing in the world through this people. Maybe today you'd say, Jesus, forgive me. I know I haven't lived for you. Help me to live for you. Forgive me of my sin. Give me new life. Make me a part of your family. Scripture says God is faithful and just. He purifies you from your sin. You go from death to life and into the family. God, for all of us that maybe have been a part of the church for a while, help us to love genuinely, to take the time to not only receive what we need, God, help us not to just simply be consumers, but to be contributors, to give back to the next generation, to another family, to another lonely individual, to be the hands and feet and the embrace of God's love to them through us. God, may it be so. God, would you use this church? Would you use this next response time for us to take next steps closer and deeper in our relationship with you and ultimately to one another as well as we love you and love our neighbors? We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.
And thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in what your next step in growing your relationship with God might look like, I'd encourage you to visit us at firstnaz.cc/engage, or you can download our app from the App Store, First Nazarene Church. And there you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can also find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. I'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, to make sure that you've always got the latest content. And if you want to, feel free to share this on your social accounts. You never know who else might need to hear today's message as well. Well, thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.